Welcome to the weekly Sermons and Studies podcast at First Baptist. Today's speaker is our senior pastor, Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for the wonderful cross of Jesus Christ. That cross meant death for Jesus, but it means life for us. And we are so grateful. And so, Lord, now as we turn to your word, which we believe is unequivocally true, in the shadow of your cross and continuing to celebrate the glory of your resurrection, we pray that through your Holy Spirit who is in this place, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would transform us by the renewing of our minds so that when we leave this experience in just a few moments, we would leave different, more like Jesus, for it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. What happens to somebody who trusts and follows Jesus for a long time? What happens to somebody who trusts and follows Jesus for a lifetime? Well, the answer is they should get better. That's the idea. That as we give our lives to Christ and as we actively, by the power of his Holy Spirit, devote ourselves to following him, we ought to become more like him over time. And so for the past several months, we have been looking at the lives of people in Scripture who decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And we looked at the moment where they came to faith and their early growth in the faith as they set their eyes on Jesus and they sought to follow him. But the question arises, what do you do later? You know, after some time has passed, maybe after some years or maybe even decades have passed, what does that life look like then? Well, the good news is we have a couple of biblical answers. We've got two more weeks left in the Decided series. In 2 weeks, after this Sunday and next Sunday, you get to hear from Dr. Alex Watkins, who's going to preach 2 Sundays in a row from the book of Philippians. And I am so excited for you to get to hear from him and to get to grow in grace as you hear what God shares through his heart and through the Word of God. But on these last 2 messages from the Decided series, I wanted us to go back and look at 2 people whose lives we've already looked at, but to look at them from a different perspective. We're going to go back and look at Peter and Paul. Now, we've already looked at when Peter started to follow Jesus. We've already looked at when Paul started to follow Jesus. But now we're going to go to the last chapter that they wrote, the last chapter of the last letter that each of these men wrote. And for both cases, we're talking about decades later. So we're going to get to see what does the growth over decades in Christ result in. And what we're going to find is that they got better. So today, the theme for the message is the Apostle Peter, and that's how I'm delineating that he's older. The Apostle Peter decided to follow Jesus, and his life was transformed. I want you to look with me at 2 Peter chapter 3. If you're in the red pew Bible here in the room, that is page 1019. But we're going to look at the very last chapter that Peter wrote, and we're going to see how did God change him over the course of multiple decades of trusting and following Jesus. Now, to set the context for this last chapter, we know more about Peter than we know about any of the other disciples. We know that he was a fisherman from Capernaum, that he had a brother named Andrew, and that they were business partners with James and John, the sons of Zebedee. We know how Peter came to faith in Jesus Christ, that he was kind of slow to believe. Andrew went to him first and said, "We found the Messiah." And Peter basically responded, "We'll see." But then Jesus did this miraculous catch of fish, and Peter falls on his knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He recognizes the reality of who Jesus is, and he begins to follow him. And it doesn't take long for Peter to become the spokesman for the group. He was a true Galilean, and Galileans had a reputation for kind of being outspoken. They didn't mind an argument. You ever know anybody like that, that didn't mind an argument? They just would kind of stick their nose in and here we go. Well, that was Peter. And we know that Peter, as the spokesman for the disciples, when they were at Caesarea Philippi and Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" that Peter was the one who spoke up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I mean, that's one of the most profound moments in all of the Gospels. Peter says, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God." And this amazing moment where Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter is listening to God. And then just a few moments later, when Jesus starts telling about how he will be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and crucified and killed, Peter says, "No way, Lord," I'm paraphrasing. He said, "That will never happen on my watch. That is not going to happen to you." And what does Jesus say to him then? "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you have in mind not the things of God, but rather the things of man." So it had to be the most bipolar moment in history, in Peter's life. We know that Peter was the one who said, "I will go to prison with you, Lord. I will stand with you, Lord. Nothing will happen to you, Lord, while I'm around." And when Jesus' life was on the line, we know that Peter chose to protect Peter instead of choosing to protect Jesus. And he went away and he wept bitterly. And we know that Jesus was crucified and Peter was not at the foot of the cross with the women and with John. But we do know that Peter came back to the community of Christ, because very early in the morning on the first day of the week, when Mary Magdalene came to the disciples to tell them that the tomb was empty, who did she find? Peter and John. And we know that Peter and John ran to the tomb. John tells us that he outran Peter to the tomb. Thanks, John, for that detail. But he also tells us that Peter went into the tomb first. And Peter saw the strips of linen and the cloth that had been on Jesus' face folded neatly to the side. John believed, but Peter struggled, just like at the beginning. But then Peter had multiple encounters with the risen Jesus, and you remember that encounter that he had by the Sea of Galilee when Jesus was cooking breakfast on a charcoal fire and was cooking fish, and there was another miraculous catch, and Peter realized it was the Lord there on the shore, and he jumped in and he went to Jesus, and you have this incredible exchange when Jesus asks Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep." And three times Jesus asks that question of Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times Peter had denied him. Three times Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" And then Jesus gives a prophecy. He said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted, but when you're old, people are going to take you where you don't want to go. And that's what lays ahead of you, Peter." We know that on the day of Pentecost, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he, who had been afraid to mention the name of Jesus to a slave girl, was the one who stood up and proclaimed Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected, to the very people that had just condemned Jesus to death. So Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and once again, he's the spokesperson for the disciples, and he is telling the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. We know that he had that moment at the beautiful gate of the temple with John, when that lame beggar was healed miraculously, and the religious leaders were greatly annoyed that these men were preaching the name of Jesus. And Peter was the one who said, "Listen, whether we should listen to you or to God, that's for you to decide, but we can only do what God says to do." So Peter was the one who was emboldened by the Holy Spirit to become the mouthpiece of the early church. And we know that Peter was the one who had the vision of the unclean foods being let down and God saying to him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And we know that God gave him that vision, "Don't call anything unclean that I have made clean," so that Peter would be the one to carry the gospel to the first Gentile convert, Cornelius, and that Peter would go from Joppa at Simon the Tanner's house up the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, up to Caesarea Maritima, and he would share the gospel with Cornelius. And now, the gospel is going not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And Peter was instrumental in all of that. We know that Peter was there at the first church council there at Jerusalem after Paul's first missionary journey, and that when they came back and gave the report that the Gentiles were coming to faith and the Gentiles were experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit, that Peter was there voicing his assent, voicing his support that the gospel should go to all people, not just the Jewish people, but to all people. Jewish person, Samaritan, and Gentile alike. So that's where Peter was in Acts chapter 15. Now, all of that happened within about a 20-year time span. Peter started following Jesus sometime between 28 and 30 AD, and the Jerusalem Council happened between 48 and 49 AD. So we're talking about 20 years. And then Peter kind of disappears from the pages of the book of Acts. We focus more on Paul. We know that Peter had been arrested, and we know that he was miraculously released from prison. But then what happened to Peter? Well, some scholars have some ideas of what might have happened. First Peter was written to an audience that Peter named as to the elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So there are some scholars who believe that maybe Peter went to those areas and preached the gospel. Remember, Paul was prevented from going to those areas on the second missionary journey. Paul wanted to go preach the gospel there, and the Spirit of Jesus said no. So Paul went on into southern Europe. Maybe Peter went to those areas. We don't know. But we do know that Peter wrote this letter, 1 Peter, from Rome, because he mentions that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. He talks about the lady at Babylon, and Babylon was the way that they would refer to Rome at that time. And we imagine that Peter wrote this first letter to the elect exiles of the dispersion during the reign of Nero, but before Nero's persecution of Christians. So they think that 1 Peter was written around 64 AD. But then Nero started persecuting Christians because of the fire in Rome, and Nero blamed the Christians for that. And there's strong evidence to support the fact that Peter then wrote 2 Peter, still from Rome, but during persecution. And that he was martyred soon thereafter. Traditionally, and there's a lot of sources that from the early church that would corroborate this idea, we believe Peter was crucified in Rome. But that when the time came for him to be crucified, he requested to be crucified upside down because he couldn't bear to die in the same way that Jesus had died. He wasn't worthy of that sort of death in his eyes, so he asked to be crucified upside down. Whether he was crucified upside down or not, we don't have definitive evidence, but we do have pretty strong evidence that he was crucified in Rome sometime between 64 and 67 AD. So we're talking about a guy who started following Jesus in 28 to 30, and his life on this earth came to an end sometime between 64 and 67 AD. So we're talking about a span of about 30 years. 30 years of trusting and following Jesus. What difference did it make? Well, let's look at the last chapter Peter ever wrote. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Peter writes as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, saying this. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." Our first point today is this. The Apostle Peter followed Jesus to a new perspective. The Apostle Peter followed Jesus to a new perspective. Go back in your mind to the time when Jesus was on earth before he ascended. Do you remember what the question was of the disciples? Peter asked specifically twice, once in Mark chapter 13, and then again in Acts chapter 1, just before Jesus ascended. Their question was this: Jesus, is now the time? Are you getting ready to usher in the kingdom now? Are you going to take your rightful place on the throne? Are you going to rule from Jerusalem? Are you going to restore the glory of Israel like we had it under David and Solomon? Is now the time that you as the Messiah will come and reign and rule, and we will no longer be under the thumb of Rome? Is now the time? They were kind of impatient. Do you remember? But now listen to Peter 30 or so years later. What is he telling believers to do? Be patient. How many of you have found that sometimes as you age, you learn that things will happen when they happen? And you learn that God is in control and it will not happen according to your timeline in most regards. Is that a hard lesson to learn? Or maybe it isn't for you. Boy, it is for me. But what is older Peter now saying to his audience of Christians? Be patient. He tells them to do some things. He reminds them to listen to the Old Testament prophets about the coming of the Lord. He reminds them to listen to the teachings of Jesus. I'm thinking specifically about the Olivet Discourse that Jesus gave his disciples just before the crucifixion. He reminds them to listen to the teachings of the apostles, and we have those recorded in the New Testament. He reminds them of God's work since the creation, and he reminds them that scoffers are going to come, and they're going to say, see, nothing's changed since the beginning of time. Where is this Jesus? And Peter says, be patient. First of all, the reason the Lord is delaying in our perspective, he's not delaying in his perspective. Y'all realize that. God's never been late one time in his life. Even when Jesus was late to get to Lazarus's tomb, he was still right on time, wasn't he? So God's never been late from his perspective, but from our perspective, sometimes we feel like, Lord, you're missing it. You're missing it. Where are you? And Peter says the reason that he seems late from our perspective is because he is patient, and he's not wanting anybody to perish, but he's wanting all to come to knowledge of the truth. So you may be asking right now, Jesus, why haven't you come back yet? This is awful. Life on this earth is hard, and it's getting harder. It doesn't seem to be getting easier. Where are you? And the answer to that question is, he hasn't returned yet because God is being patient, wanting all to come to knowledge of the truth and be saved. Now, will all come to knowledge of the truth and be saved? No. But that's why it seems like he's delayed. It's because of his mercy. But the day will come, Peter says, and on that day there will be no escape. And he says very straightforwardly, on that day, judgment will happen. You can be assured of that. In Revelation, John would receive from heaven that on that day, even the kings will be looking for places to hide, calling out for the rocks to fall on them, to cover them up. So that day will come. And if you're not in Christ on that day, you will pay the price for your sin, and that is hell for eternity. And God does not desire that for you. That's why he hasn't come back yet. And that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. He may be found right now. So seek him now, because you don't know when he's coming. Peter says, be patient. He will come. Your job is to ensure that you are in Christ. So older Peter has developed a little bit of a perspective that's different from younger Peter, and older Peter's a little bit more patient. And he's encouraging others to be patient, whereas previously he was the one tapping Jesus on the shoulder saying, when's it going to happen? Is it going to happen now? Is it coming now? Is it going to happen now? Are we there yet? Just be patient. But now watch what he says, verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Our second point. The Apostle Peter followed Jesus to a new holiness. The Apostle Peter followed Jesus to a new holiness. Peter had been an impetuous young man who had actually rebuked Jesus. And we talk about Mary and Joseph losing Jesus when he was 12, you know, leaving him there at the temple. How do you lose Jesus? Well, let's look at Peter. How do you look at the one you have just proclaimed to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and rebuke him for the things coming out of his mouth? Come on, Peter, you're better than that. I mean, have you ever thought that? Peter had been an impetuous young man. He had rebuked Jesus. He had failed Jesus and denied Jesus three times. Listen to what Jesus said to him in Luke 22. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." Which one was right, Peter or Jesus? Turns out Jesus was right, and Peter denied him. And then Peter tried to defend him when the guards came to take Jesus, and you remember he took out his sword and he swung it at the high priest's servant. He cut off Malchus's ear. You know what that means? He missed. You don't aim for an ear. Jesus calmed him down. "Put your sword up, Peter. I'm going to drink the cup that the Father has given me to drink." And then in the midst of being arrested, Jesus picks up the guy's ear and heals him right there. Isn't that something? He takes time during his own agony to heal somebody else. Peter follows at a distance, he watches, and we learn that after the third denial and the song of the rooster, the Gallicantu, Jesus from Pilate's, or from the Caiaphas's courtyard, looks and meets Peter's eye. And Peter flees and weeps bitterly. Peter had been an impetuous young man who had thought he knew better than God many times. You ever thought you knew better than God? I'll confess that I have. You know the way that turns out every time? At least in my experience, it turns out every time I don't know better than God. In Peter's experience, it turned out he didn't know better than God. And I bet in your experience, it's turned out you don't know better than God. And maybe if you're trying that experiment right now, just know it's not going to end the way you think it's going to end. Now Peter, 3 decades later, encourages his believers to wait for and hasten the day of the Lord's coming by living holy lives. At the beginning of this letter in 2 Peter chapter 1, around verse 5, he said, "Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Peter had embraced a new holiness as he had trusted and followed Jesus over the course of many decades, and he was encouraging his readers to do the same. How does he finish? Verse 14. "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Our third and final point today is this. The Apostle Peter followed Jesus to a new wisdom. The Apostle Peter followed Jesus to a new wisdom. Peter hadn't been real good at being at peace, but now he's calling Christians to peace, to be at peace. Remember when Jesus came up to the boat walking on the water, what did Peter say? If it's you, tell me to get out of this boat. And what did Jesus say? Come on. That's the South Central Kentucky paraphrase. And what did Peter do? He came on, and he walked on water with Jesus for a minute. And then he started looking at the wind and the waves and the storm that surrounded him, and instead of fixing his eyes on Jesus and walking by faith, he started to walk according to what he was able to see. He was walking by sight, and he started to sink. He had not been at peace. Where's your faith? Jesus said. Well, now, 3 decades later, he's filled with more faith. He's about to be martyred, executed in Rome, and yet he's filled with faith. He's not looking at the wind and the waves. He's not looking at the danger in which he lives daily. He's looking at Jesus. And he's saying, y'all look at Jesus with me. Because if you'll look at Jesus with me, everything else will fall into its right perspective. You stare at the struggle, all you're going to see is the struggle. You rely on your own stability, you're going to fail. Did Peter have intimate knowledge of what it meant to fail while relying on his own stability? Boy, he did. But 3 decades later, a little more older Peter, a little more seasoned Peter, a little more wise Peter, he encourages believers to be patient, to look to Christ, to live in holiness. Incidentally, he affirms Paul, and he and Paul had been into it. You can read about that in Galatians chapter 2. But Peter, as he trusted and followed Jesus, came to a wisdom that can come only by the hand of Almighty God, because he repeatedly trusted and followed Jesus in every moment that he lived. So after 3 decades, he was different. And that's what he wants for his readers too. That's what God wants for us too. So we surrender ourselves to the Lord in every moment and let him make us what he wants us to be. That's a better life by far. Would you pray with me?
Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time. We'd love to connect with you. Just email connect@firstbaptistbg.org or call 270-842-0331.